Miles here is an electrician running wiring for this new home build.
Good morning.
Miles doesn't have time for funny business.
I guess.
Miles traded up to Sirius Commercial Auto Insurance from GEICO for customized coverage that grows with his business, all for seriously low rates.
So, where's the GEICO surprise cameo?
Come again?
You know, like some big famous football player or something. He's gonna bust through that wall, isn't he?
No, this ad is serious business.
Guys, get over here! You gotta see this!
No, there's nothing funny over here. Sorry. Get more with GEICO Commercial Insurance. Trade up today at geico.com/commercial.
You're listening to Talk of Champions, an Ole Miss Spirit podcast with Ben Garrett. It's time!
Hello again, friends, and welcome inside, at least for me, the Riverland Roofing Studios, the little house up top. Riverland Roofing, for all your roofing needs, riverlandroofing.com, 662-644-4297. Few, if any, are doing more for Ole Miss football in the name, image, and likeness space. And I bring that up specifically because when Zach Berry, my guy there on the right side of your YouTube or whatever screen, whenever I have him on, we're talking Ole Miss recruiting. Because the portal is, the first window at least, is going to close in 4 days. Doesn't mean Ole Miss is going to stop. If you listen to Walker Jones here on the Talk of Champions podcast, you heard all about how teams in the playoffs, in bowl games, those players will have a five-day window once their season ends to get into the portal. So you're going to see activity as late as into mid-January. And then, of course, the second portal window opens in April. But Ole Miss has done a lot. 18 commitments, if the math is right in my head, 18 signees/commitments for Ole Miss in the portal. Some misses, some hits, and now Zach Berry's going to help us make sense of it. Hey, buddy, how you doing? Merry Christmas.
Hello. Happy Festivus.
Yes.
It's a good day to talk some portal. So let's get into it, huh?
Yes, but first, tell me how you're celebrating these next 2 days. We're coming to you live. Well, not live, but we're coming to you recorded on Christmas Eve, lunchtime, and it's been, for me at least, a wonderful Christmas time. Just wrapped a 3-month process where my oldest daughter, that one right there, my oldest daughter and I were in a Christmas carol at Theater Memphis. Every single show was sold out. My dear friends, the Hoes and South Lamar, were in the front row for the last show last night, surprised me. It's been a lot of fun, but now it's gifts and food and all that. So after you and I get done talking recruiting, of course, I want to know how you're spending it, though, because I ain't got to talk to you outside of this, you know, recruiting stuff, right? Yeah. So tell me how you and the wife and the kids are doing.
Yeah, we're good. We went to Memphis over the weekend. Saw family, did all of that, and then now we are back home in Nashville. We have been doing, I guess, for the last 5 years, since, well, probably four, because we waited until my oldest was at least one. We do homemade pizzas on Christmas Eve.
Oh, nice.
So we do that. So that's been fun. We'll do like a big regular style, or regular size pizza, I should say, and then we'll let the kids do some little, you know, mini pan pizzas. So we do that, got to wrap some gifts after this, and yeah, that's pretty much it. I think my wife and I will probably do at least a couple Christmas movies tonight, probably some red wine, probably a cab, and yeah, I think she wants to watch Tombstone, which came out on Christmas Day. And then we'll probably watch the Fishes episode of The Bear. Just get some real good emotional terrorism going.
Grief.
I said we should watch Batman Returns because that is a Christmas movie.
So is Die Hard.
Correct. But yeah, so just laid back. We'll get all the stuff wrapped up, and then the kids will wake up. My in-laws will be here tomorrow, and then my parents will come up to hang the day after. So pretty low key, you know, little homemade pizza tonight. And then I got a breakfast casserole in the morning.
There you go.
We're good to go.
There you go. Well, it's been an unbelievable year for me personally, for the Ole Miss Spirit, for Zach. We thank y'all for joining us on Talk of Champions, the flagship, the Ole Miss Spirit, OMSpirit.com, and the fleet of On3. The sub numbers have been great. The action on the message boards and the engagement from you guys has been great. We thank you for that. We look forward to an even more go for broke year in 2025, man. We have some big things planned. So stay locked into the Ole Miss Spirit, OleMissSpirit.com. And if you want to give a last minute gift of the Ole Miss Spirit, you can give the Spirit for $1, a subscription to the Spirit. And you know, if you're looking for the Ole Miss fan in your life to hook them up with something to give them a Merry Christmas, that's a heck of a way to start. The Ole Miss Spirit, we'd love to have you. And again, we thank y'all for this ride all year that we've been on together. The ups, the downs, the playoff contender, the non-playoff contender. Ole Miss basketball is heating up. They're 11-1. They got one more non-con before they go into SEC play, this 18-game gauntlet. The number 16 ranking that they received on Monday from the AP and the AP Top 25 was their highest in 11 years, and yet they were 8th in the SEC, to tell you how tough the SEC is this year. But Ole Miss has the look of a contender, and we look forward to following them into the new year and covering them into the new year. But today, it's about Ole Miss recruiting, football recruiting specifically, and the transfer portal. A lot has happened since the last time you and I sat down to talk and to kind of give the people a lay of the land, if you will, last Monday. So tell me, for Ole Miss fans that maybe haven't been as plugged into the Ole Miss Spirit, don't know what we talk about every single day, all day, every day, what's really the most important development, do you think, over the last week for Ole Miss in the portal?
I think it's probably been quarterback. It's probably the most intriguing and I guess probably the most intriguing storyline. It's such a difficult dance because I don't think it's not a secret. Austin Simmons is the guy for 2025. I mean, I think the staff was already planning on that before the touchdown drive against Georgia, and that just kind of cemented it and kind of, you know, everybody, you know, behind the scenes and in practice and stuff like that, Ben and I talked to everybody that's, you know, around the program, and they've been telling us for the last, you know, year, like, hey, this kid's special. You know, Jackson Dart is an all-timer, but this kid's going to be really, really fun, blah, blah, blah. Everybody got to see it in that game against Georgia. I mean, it was one drive, completed a couple passes, but I mean, he went right down the field. I thought it was pretty indicative of what the staff thinks about him when they let him throw it on 4th and 1 in that game. But yeah, you're going to have to find someone who, in my opinion, is either an experienced guy that's played a lot of football that kind of knows his role and knows that he is simply a, you know, break glass in case of emergency type, you know, a Spencer Sanders. Or you have to go younger, upside play, you know, have him come in, learn the system, and get ready to compete with AJ Maddox and whoever the 26 signee is. So that one's been really interesting to follow because they've had some guys come in town. I thought Mikey Keene made a lot of sense. Anthony Calandria is kind of a mix. Like, he played a lot at Virginia, but he's still young. So I thought that one made sense. The Bo Pribula, that one never really jived with me because he got in the portal when he did because he wants to go start. He didn't want to wait. I mean, if he stuck around and was with his teammates for that playoff win over SMU, you know, that's less time for him to meet with staffs and go ahead and get enrolled and all that. So he wanted to go ahead and get that knocked out. I never thought that it made sense because it's not a guarantee he's going to play next year. It's not a guarantee he would start at Ole Miss because I think Austin Simmons is a better quarterback. So that one quickly moved. And then Mikey Keene obviously committed to Michigan this week. And then Calandria committed to UNLV, which I think is low-key a really fun matchup or match there with Dan Mullen and Anthony Calandria. I think that's going to be a lot of fun. So, yeah, there's some names out there. Right now, I think the staff is focusing on running back. In my opinion, I think running back and offensive line are the two main things that are needed, and then quarterback's right behind it. I think you're going to get at least one more running back, two if it makes sense. If you can get the numbers right, you can get the resources allocated, all that. And then offensive line, I think they like the dudes they got already, and I think they got a good core that's coming back, a lot of guys that played this year. I know the offensive line had its struggles. I think a lot of it was due to injury and guys playing a little bit out of position because they had to shuffle around so many guys with the injuries. So Right now, though, I think the focus is going to be on Justice Haynes and Fluff Bothwell. I know On Three's Pete Nakos reported that Michigan and South Carolina have kind of moved ahead of Ole Miss for Haynes. I know that Ole Miss is still talking to him. I think he's taking his time. I don't, and I'm not disputing what Pete's reporting because he talks to everybody. But I think he's really slowing things down and is going to think about it. Now he could just, you know, turn around and commit right now while we're recording this, but yep. He's doing his due diligence. I know there was a little bit of pause with Ole Miss when Kewan Lacy committed, because look, I mean, these guys want to play, and Haynes was splitting carries at Alabama with Jam and with Jalen Milroe. So he wants to be the guy. He you know, he kind of wants to be the bell cow. I don't know, you know, the people he's talking to are telling him like, hey, we need you to go somewhere and run the ball 200 times. You know, this year we can do a whole podcast on what the hell Ole Miss was doing at running back. But I think Ole Miss's, you know, surface level plan for running backs is good because they don't want to just run you into the ground and just tear all the tread off the tires. I think that's good for NFL aspirations. Because, you know, you're an NFL guy, you're a Cowboys fan, and, you know, running backs that's not a first round, you know, like, I think that's for a reason, right? Like, NFL teams don't covet running backs in the first round often. And they want guys that have some longevity and are not, you know, like Derrick Henry's kind of one of the exceptions, but that's just because Derrick Henry's a cyborg. But,
yeah, and he was a second rounder.
Yeah, still. And yeah, I mean, he ran the ball, you know, so like, I don't even know. I mean, he had a ton of carries at Alabama, but, you know, he's built different. But yeah, I think that the idea that Ole Miss has with rotating guys and keeping them fresh is better for the long term. But obviously, guys think differently. So long-winded answer there, but I think that the focus is on running back. And then after these bowl games and college football playoff games wrap up, you'll see some more movement behind the scenes.
First and foremost, Ole Miss is not going to overpay or overextend at any position because, yes, I understand there are some fans out there that are like, well, they missed on so-and-so and so-and-so and so-and-so. I don't go with the whole missing thing. I don't believe in the missing thing because a lot of it, yeah, one or two or three might have been misses, but truly a lot of it is your own evaluations, your own own determination as far as what the money should be for that position, your own money allocation, and not overextending just because you feel desperate. You don't get nervous, like Walker Jones said on this podcast last week, the head of the Grove Collective. You don't get nervous. You don't start making, you know, irrational decisions based only on what the market is. You adapt to the market, you adjust to the market. Ole Miss has done that. Like, for example, the quarterback from Virginia that now is at UNLV with Dan Mullen. I mean, Chuck Ronsville, our buddy, our coworker at the Ole Miss Spirit, OleMissSpirit.com, Philip on three, he heard that his number was $750K. Again, if you have Austin Simmons and you have a cap number you're working under, that doesn't make a lot of sense. Same with the Penn State quarterback that got him in for a visit. He was looking for a starting opportunity. Now, Ole Miss was going to give him the opportunity to compete with Austin Simmons, let the best man win. But it was a clearer path to that starting role at Missouri, so he ends up in Missouri. And again, the number is high. So the money and the need have to match, right? It has to match where Ole Miss is and where the market is. Ole Miss is not going to overextend, and they like A.J. Maddox a lot. Same thing with running back. Running back across all levels is a devalued position. Now, it's a little bit more valued these days than it has been the last 3, 4, 5 years, but it still is a low premium position. So Ole Miss loves Justice Haynes. And at the end of last week, I was hearing that they were getting really, really close to landing him. I do know that the Kewan Lacy commitment did complicate things for them with Justin Haynes because of his splitting carries at Alabama, wanting to be the bell cow, all those kind of things. But again, Ole Miss can't just rely on one. They need multiple running backs. They have to have a Kewan Lacy and a Shekai Mills Knight and someone else. It makes sense then why Fluff Boswell from South Alabama is in for a visit, visiting Mississippi State. That can make a lot of sense. Ahmad Hardy commits to Missouri. They didn't like how high his number was considering what they thought the money should be for running back. All of these things go into account. So understanding that, who so far this over the last week that Ole Miss was in on that you thought they had a good chance, has there been a legitimate miss? Because there is some discourse online that Ole Miss isn't having the same kind of success in the portal that it has had the last couple of years. And I'm thinking, wait a second, they're number two in the country, only behind Texas Tech. But yeah. I wanted to give you the opportunity to kind of break down that misconception, if you will.
As far as misses, I'm really trying to think. Because I don't know. I mean, like, you nailed it, though. Like, a lot of this is, I mean, these are business meetings. This isn't like a recruitment, like in high school. I mean, it is in a sense, but it's also, I mean, this is a very regimented, you know, checklist you're going through on these visits, right? I mean, it's a straight up, you know, okay, here's what we can offer you. Here's the depth chart. Here's the timeline for when classes start, when we need you here, all of that. So, yeah, I don't know. I mean, like, as far as like a true miss, I don't know. Cause like you said, with like Calandria and like with the quarterbacks, like they wanted a lot of money and Ole Miss is not going to do that when they already have their guy at quarterback. I mean, Eric Singleton, I guess, could kind of be labeled as a miss, but sure. the number was really, really high. And I don't really know if you're going to go over $1 million for a slot receiver when you've got Caden Lee, who, in my opinion, was a freshman All-American this year. I mean, kind of running down the list, I mean, I guess you could say Dane Key. He hasn't even decided anything yet. I've heard rumors he might go back to Kentucky. I mean, that would – you had him on campus. He went to Georgia. He went to Nebraska. Still hasn't decided anything. I mean, Barry and Brown, he never visited, but Ole Miss was talking to him. I don't think that Ole Miss got very far down the line. I mean, I don't know. Honestly, I'm kind of running through the top prospects in On3's transfer portal rankings, Ben, and this isn't like a spin or a homer answer. Again, I don't really think there's been a true miss where it was like Ole Miss was head-to-head with somebody down the line. Here's the offer, and the kid didn't pick it. It hasn't been like that.
I think Ole Miss had a really good portal strategy, and that's why I was kind of confused by the discourse, because it doesn't make a lot of sense. One, when Ole Miss is number two in the country with this portal class, according to On3, and the decisions they made, for example, with Jaheim Otis, he had a huge number, more than Ole Miss paid Walter Nolan. Ole Miss was not going to pay Jaheim Otis what it paid Walter Nolan. He might have gotten that at Colorado, but that is what led to the momentum that was building, the obvious momentum there, to then kind of peter out. Same thing with a lot of these different guys. Is Ole Miss, again, has got a number in mind. You can disagree with the valuation of it. You could say, hey, wait a second, you should allocate more of the cap to this. But Ole Miss, I think, has earned more than earned the benefit of the doubt with these things. And remember, Ole Miss lost three games this season by 13 total points. Missed the field goal to tie in one, OT loss in another, played down to its competition more than anything else, beat South Carolina and Georgia by a combined 42 points. Now, Ole Miss does lose a lot of that team. No doubt about it. Jackson Dart, Walter Nolan, Jared Ivey, J.J. Pegues, Trey Harris, Jordan Watkins. But if you look at how – Princely, I could keep going on and on. But if you look at what Ole Miss has done in this – yes, what Ole Miss has done in this portal, it's more of a long-term play. Yes, there isn't as much proven production as far as what they're going after. However, the upside and how this roster will grow together, that's what the vision is, right? Deshaun Womack is an edge who didn't have the production on the side at LSU, but you believe in the talent. He comes in. He's got a three-year run here. Same thing with Prince Will Umanmielen. Same thing with any number of the skill position players or even some offensive linemen like, for example, P.J. Wilkins. He played or started 11 games at Charlotte, but he is more of a lottery ticket than he is proven production. But a lot of what your team is next year will be get the most talent you can get, believing in your own evaluations. Keewon Lacy is another good example. They loved him coming out of high school. Didn't do much as a freshman at Missouri. But who's to say he's not going to explode next year with Lane Kiffin because they believe in that evaluation, that player. And once you get all of this combination of upside together, let the best men win. And Ole Miss has shown that it's going to be right there in the fight at the end of it, 8, 9, 10 wins to compete for the college football playoff. And if Austin Simmons is the quarterback they think he is, then the quarterback issue to begin with isn't one at all. Remember, they tried to replace Jackson Dart with Spencer Sanders and or Walker Howard, and neither one of them could do it. So that they understand, and they paid those guys good money. Spencer Sanders got really good money to do nothing but hold a clipboard. So, yes, Ole Miss needs a quarterback, but it is not going to overextend. And it's proven through its success over the last 5 years that understanding that Ole Miss has a plan. Ole Miss went into this knowing exactly what it wanted to do. And I do think that the difference, or maybe what Ole Miss fans aren't used to, is yes, Walter Nolan was a multi-year starter at Texas A&M. Princely Umanmielen, Trey Amos, well, he came over as a slot corner from Alabama and then just became Trey Amos. But there are some examples of that where Ole Miss doesn't have that same proven guy, but the upside plays that they're making, it makes sense with where their roster is. It is more of a developmental roster than this year's roster was. Doesn't mean they can't win because they have a lot of really good players returning, veteran players returning, but it is going to be more of a wild card season than this one was, only because you don't know who those guys are going to be. They just want to get as many of them as possible.
Protecting homes and businesses from the whims of nature, you need more than just quality materials. You require Riverland Roofing. Licensed, insured, and certified, Riverland Roofing offers not only the assurance of excellence, but a tailored approach to your unique structural needs and budget. To learn more about what Riverland Roofing can do for you and the community, call them at 662-644-4297 or visit riverlandroofing.com.
This is Cali. With C Spire's blazing fast nationwide 5G network, she's got her fans in the palm of her hands. Live streaming her Mississippi Blues from her phone wherever she is. Out there, wherever they are. Right now, get the latest 5G phone on us. Only at C Spire, customer inspired.
Ole Miss fans, make your holidays bigger and brighter with Prize Picks, the best place to get real money action while watching your favorite sports. Join now because this holiday season, Prize Picks is giving away 2 free picks in December, and they're giving away $30+ million in rewards during Picksmas. You can now win up to 1,000 times your money on Prize Picks. And Prize Picks now offers MasterCard for quick and easy deposits into your account this sports season. So don't wait any longer. Download the Prize Picks app today and use my promo code, TALKOFCHAMPIONS, to get $50 instantly after you play your first $5 lineup. Again, download the Prize Picks app today. Use my promo code, TALKOFCHAMPIONS, and you'll get $50 instantly after you play your first $5 lineup. Prize Picks is America's number one daily fantasy sports app. And who doesn't want to win 1,000 times your cash? Prize Picks, run your game.
Miles here is an electrician running wiring for this new home build.
Good morning.
Miles doesn't have time for funny business.
I guess.
Miles traded up to Sirius Commercial Auto Insurance from GEICO for customized coverage that grows with his business, all for seriously low rates.
So, where's the GEICO surprise cameo?
Come again?
You know, like some big famous football player or something. He's gonna bust through that wall, isn't he?
No, this ad is serious business.
Guys, get over here! You gotta see this!
No, there's nothing funny over here, sorry! Get more with GEICO Commercial Insurance. Trade up today at geico.com/commercial. Fred runs his own landscaping business.
Yeah, with my two brothers.
They take their business very seriously.
Sure do.
Fred traded up to commercial auto insurance from GEICO for serious customized coverage that grows as his business does, all for seriously low rates.
All right, so when's it gonna happen? You know, the big GEICO surprise?
I'm sorry?
Some hair metal band. Are they gonna jump out of those bushes?
No, this is a serious GEICO ad.
That pyro was pretty cool, though.
Get more with GEICO Commercial Insurance. Trade up today at geico.com/commercial.
Good point there. A lot of multi-year guys. Not a ton of one-year rentals or mercenaries, whatever you want to call them. They're building towards 2026. That's not to say, like, hey, they're not trying to win it all in 2025. Of course they are. But they are definitely looking to build not only a roster with instant impact guys, but instant impact guys that will be around for 2 years at least. Mm-hmm. You know, you mentioned Kewin Lacy and you mentioned Ahmad Hardy earlier. One of the multi-year guys that has been brought in, Caleb Odom, guy that was highly coveted out of high school, was going to Ole Miss. I mean, was pretty much, you know, done. And then Nick Saban pushes, signs with Alabama. Nick Saban leaves right after signing day, which for the life of me, I don't understand why no one gives him shit for that. I don't understand it. Anyway,
he's the GOAT.
You know, that Caleb Odom commitment coincided a lot with the Ahmad Hardy commitment. You can kind of put the puzzle pieces together, Ben, where it's like, you know, you mentioned Ole Miss felt really good about Justice Haynes. And I think that that was kind of a, you know, hey, we're moving our attention to Justice Haynes. Ahmad Hardy, you do what you got to do. Things like that, you see those dominoes kind of fall in portal recruiting, right? Where, you know, there are two, three teams with one guy, and then one team falls off, and then the guy either commits or he focuses on the two teams. So, I think that that's probably the biggest storyline for this portal class is a lot of multi-year dudes. And I think that's very important. And there's also a good mix of one-year guys. Like, I think somebody like Andrew Jones, you know, kind of the heir apparent to Poo Paul, come in, be a dog at middle linebacker, make a lot of tackles, lead the defense, and then go try your hand at the NFL. And then you've got, like I said, Caleb Odom, multi-year guy, Kewin Lacy, multi-year guy, Princewell, Jalen Braxton, Deshaun Womack. I mean, there's a lot of highly talented dudes that were rated very high coming out of high school that maybe didn't get their footing at their first stop, or somebody like Jalen Braxton who was hurt but was a freshman All-American. So they're hoping that these guys can come in and play multiple years. One of the guys that's probably the one that doesn't get talked about enough, just because it was so early, Luke Haas. Like, I think that guy is going to be fun as hell to cover for us, because Daquan Wright, I expect him back. That guy is going to be your number one, you know, Y tight end, whatever you want to call him. Luke Haas is going to be a nightmare for people to prepare for, to game plan for, because I think he could be a perfect X tight end that can split out wide. He can, I mean, think about that right there. Luke Haas, Caleb Odom, Dejon Strimbling, all on the field at the same time. That's some big-bodied receivers. And Ole Miss, when Trey Harris went down, didn't really have it. I mean, Juice Wells, we could do a whole podcast about that. I think he was utilized incorrectly, more of a slot guy, but he had to step up and be the outside guy when Trey Harris went down. Jordan Watkins went out there and did it a little bit. I think that in 2025, the offense is going to look a little bit more like what Lane Kiffin wants to do, where you've got big physical dudes on the outside that can create space for the run game and for Caden Lee and the tight ends over the middle of the field. So, I mean, the people that are, you know, well, Ole Miss is getting outbid, or they're slipping in the portal. Like, no, like, if you think about it, man, that first week, Ole Miss grabbed six dudes, just boom, 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 boom. This past week, 11 guys. I mean, super quick. I mean, sure, there have been some moving pieces, some guys that have come to visit and went elsewhere. You know, Charles Brantley is a great example. Ole Miss really liked his film. They liked him at Michigan State. You know, when he was healthy, he was pretty locked down. And then comes to visit, they talk. You know, I wasn't in the room, but maybe there was some injury concerns, some conversations. He ends up moving on. Ole Miss, you know, passes on him. He goes to Miami. So, I don't think that this is a case where just Ole Miss is just whiffing left and right. I mean, I think it's just
not even remotely. Sorry to interrupt you, but that's not what this is. Purely an evaluation and decision. You got to make hard decisions now in free agency. You have to build out a roster. I do think if you want to like pick, not necessarily a miss, but there is an argument to be made about those young offensive linemen like Preston Cushman and Kavion Broussard, who both didn't get adequate opportunity at Ole Miss. Now, Kavion Broussard ended up going to Arkansas, and we've talked about this a lot. When Sam Pittman picks an offensive lineman, that should certainly, you know, send your antennas up. And Kavion Broussard was a guy they loved and flipped on signing day, and now he didn't get an opportunity here, even with an offensive line that struggled. So if you want to talk about that and those evaluations, I would agree in a lot of ways. Preston Cushman ended up at Central Florida. He could have helped you, you would think at least, because – again, these are both programs, UCF and Arkansas, that have the exact same expectations of, as Ole Miss does, even if they are a little bit more pie in the sky than Ole Miss's are. But they're not signing these guys just to go get bowl eligible, right? They think they can come in and contribute. So to have those on your roster and lose, then that could be considered a miss. But as far as transfer portal targets, these are just hard decisions you have to make, and you can disagree with them. But to think that Ole Miss is not doing the same kind of work it's done for the last 3, 4, 5 years is absurd because, again, number two in the country, according to On3. Now, the type of player they're going after is different because of the upside play. And because of the multi-years where their roster is developmentally, they didn't need to go get the final pieces for a national title team like this year and disappoint. They needed to go get a roster that could grow together, that had upside, that could also win at the highest level, go beat anybody because of the talent level. But there is going to be a few more question marks only because you're breaking in a first-year starter quarterback. I mean, the numbers are so ridiculous in the portal for quarterbacks because quarterbacks – obviously, the most valued position. If you don't have one, you can't do anything. And Ole Miss has one, but there's going to be some type of a learning curve. So just surrounding Austin Simmons with comparable talent and also talent he can grow with, I think it's a brilliant masterstroke way of building this thing out. The only way to do it in 2025, so it allows you to be competitive in 2025 and go for the playoffs, and then again in 2026. You'll be on even more solid footing, you would think, in 2026. But again, they're going for the playoff in 2025. The way they're building out their roster is just a little bit different than what you're used to. So the five big portal wants, give me names, five names that you're most paying attention to right now for Ole Miss in the portal. Because number one for me, I wanted to say Justice Haynes, but I do think that Ole Miss is slipping back to the pack, as Pete Nakos brought up with Justice Haynes, because I thought Ole Miss was going to secure him at the end of last week if they were going to. And then Pete's report comes out, Michigan, South Carolina, whatever. So running back, getting one of Justice Haynes or Fluff in the boat, I think that's a number one or two, three, four, five target. Give me four more.
One guy I know that Ole Miss has talked to, but he is still waiting to make a decision, whether that be portal or NFL. Takario Davis, cornerback from Arizona. That is one Ole Miss is looking. They got Jalen Braxton, but you need depth. You need guys. You need bodies in that room to compete. They're gonna try to get more defensive backs. I'd put him up there. People keep talking about the offensive line. I like the group that they have now. People need to remember, as far as we know at this point, Jaden Williams is still set to return. That's one tackle. And then Diego Pounds, I think it took him a little bit to get comfortable at the tackle position, but he will be back. So that's a dude that you can plug in and put him somewhere on the offensive line. I think Bryson Sanders is going to be a dude at center. And then you've got the interior with Delano Townsend and Kudus. So they're definitely going to try to get more offensive linemen just to create that competition and to have the depth. But I don't think it's as pressing as a need as some people make it out to be. I know the offensive line struggled this year, but I think that they like the nucleus they have. So right now, I don't see any names that really jump off the page at me at offensive line. But you got to remember, there are going to be more guys coming in. And then also with spring practice, I mean, there's going to be another window that's 10 days in the spring, but also dudes are going to get in the portal after spring practice, or they enroll and they get somewhere and they're like, oh shit, I hate this place, I want to leave. It's going to happen. So they're going to keep some spots open. They're going to, the proverbial powder will be kept dry. So they're not just going to fill spots just to fill spots. This isn't it. The 28th of December is not, the end all be all. As far as other names, I mean, you mentioned the running backs. I mean, that's big right there. Bothwell and Haynes. I think there are going to be some more dudes that get in. You kind of run down the list. I mean, quarterback is still pretty bare. I don't know. I mean, we were, Billy and Body reported this morning, App State quarterback, got in the portal. He's Joey Aguilar. He's an experienced dude. He's older. I think that's a perfect type of quarterback to bring in, when you're trying to piece together that room where I feel like that's somebody that would understand the assignment, right? Like, he's older, probably not playing in the NFL, not good enough to beat out Austin Simmons, but a viable backup. He's thrown for a lot of yards and a lot of touchdowns. Yeah, I mean, honestly, I think they're going to continue to wait, Ben. I think they're going to wait and see who else gets in. You know, again, I've talked to several people that, you know, have all but confirmed the college football playoff teams, those dudes that get in the portal after their team loses, they have the exemption to get in the portal. It doesn't end at on December 28th for those guys. Yeah, we never really covered it much because, you know, maybe that's our fault for not, but kicker was big, but Ole Miss got a kicker now. They got a damn good one. So, yeah, I mean, I don't know, Ben. I mean, maybe you have some names that you're ready to fire away at. If we've got the running backs. I mentioned Dakario Davis. I mean, I think the rest of the, you know, the Christmas list is probably, you know, going to turn into a New Year's Day list.
I agree. Because remember, bowl teams and post playoff teams, those players get a 5-day window after they're eliminated. So I'm with you. There's a couple of names I've heard that honestly not worth really talking about right now because, again, so many moving parts right now, and it depends on the fit and the money and those kind of things. I wanted to touch on one thing real quick. Micah Pettis is going to be playing his final year at Florida State. So he was – before you go, what happened to Micah Pettis? We've talked about this before. Essentially all but dismissed from the team, headache upon headache, and they were just over it. So he moves on. Jaden Williams is probably going to be the guy that protects left-handed throwing Austin Simmons, his blind side next year, rather than a Micah Pettis who can't pass block or he holds every time. And then Diego Pounds essentially becomes the new right tackle on the other end, and he kind of can hide him for his deficiencies in his game, which is some feet stuff or whatever. I'll get Bradley Shaw to talk about all that, but I'm really glad you brought up those two tackles because that is a good place to start. Even though Diego Pounds didn't have the dominant year that they were thinking they were going to get out of a plug-and-play tackle who defended Drake May's blind side for an entire couple years at North Carolina, he still got better as the year progressed, and he is a usable piece. And if you've got the interior taken care of with Patrick Kudus, the UAB offensive lineman, I think Ole Miss is going to be better. Now, how much better, I don't know. They still need more pieces, and I've heard some offensive lineman names, but I think really what's about to happen is you're going to see the remaining targets on the board, like we talked about, like Fluff and Justice Haynes, those guys, you're going to see movement with them, but once the 28 closing date hits, Ole Miss will then go into a different phase of its transfer recruiting, which is, all right, who do we know or who are possibilities that are going to get into the portal from these playoff and bowl teams? Who are we ready to go after? And I think the positions are more important than the players themselves right now because it's the next phase, the next season of the portal cycle. And that starts really today, tomorrow, Christmas, and 28, when the closing date comes, on into mid-January. And then it's spring portal recruiting. So this doesn't stop. Ole Miss is exactly where it needs to be. Just frame your frame of mind needs to be a little bit different because Ole Miss isn't doing a last dance in 2025. They are building out a every year championship contending roster. It may take a few more bumps because of the upside rather than proven production next year, but I have no doubt that Ole Miss is going to be in the fight every single game, and Ole Miss is going to be going for the playoff with these high upside lottery pick type guys like a Deshaun Womack, Prince William Onyemata, stepping in for proven production, but man, if they hit, the payoff will be insane. This has been a Christmas Eve edition of Talk of Champions. Really just wanted to put me and Zach on the screen for you guys to talk to you through the holidays. Didn't want to go 4 or 5 days without a podcast. There's not a ton happening right now in the portal, but we do need to make sure that you understand, hold the line, number two in the country according to On Three. It's only going to get stronger. And Walker Jones, as he proved when talking on Talk of Champions last week, Walker Jones, Lane Kiffin, and them, they have a plan, and they're executing the plan. Riverland Roofing, for all your roofing needs, fewer doing more for Ole Miss in the Ole Miss NIL space. The little house up top, riverlandroofing.com, 662-644-4297. He's Zach Berry, at Zach_Berry on Twitter, X. I'm at Spirit Ben in the Ole Miss Spirit, omspirit.com, inflatable on three. Get it for as low as $1, subscription for as low as $1. A great last-minute gift idea for the Ole Miss fan in your life. So, Ole Miss Spirit, Riverland Roofing, Zach Berry, Ben Garrett, Merry Christmas. We'll see you next week. No, shit. We'll see you later this week. Me and Bradley Sal, maybe me and Zach too, you know?
Yeah. All right, buddy. Happy holidays. Everybody be safe. Enjoy it. Just, it's all about the kids, man. Just look, put some bourbon in the coffee.
That's right.
You know, bourbon in the eggnog, whatever you want to do. Drink some wine. Yeah. Great time of year. So, yeah. Appreciate everybody. We only get to do this because you guys subscribe and tune in. So it's been a phenomenal year for us because of y'all. So we appreciate it. Me and the Legal Gambling Council, Ben, Jake, Billy, Chuck, everybody. We sincerely appreciate it. So big ups to y'all, and hope everybody has a safe holiday. And we'll talk to y'all again soon.
God is good. Beer is cold. Eat as much as you can. Diet starts on January 1. Bye, buddy.
See you, man.
Fred runs his own landscaping business.
Yeah, with my two brothers.
They take their business very seriously.
Sure do.
Fred traded up to commercial auto insurance from GEICO for serious customized coverage that grows as his business does, all for seriously low rates.
All right, so when's it going to happen? You know, the big GEICO surprise?
I'm sorry?
Some hair metal band. Are they going to jump out of those bushes?
No, this is a serious GEICO ad.
That pyro was pretty cool, though.
Get more with GEICO Commercial Insurance. Trade up today at geico.com/commercial. This is Robert.
Hey there.
Robert is an over-the-road trucker. He takes his business very seriously.
Yes, I do.
Robert traded up to GEICO for serious commercial coverage, insuring not just his truck, but his cargo, too. All for seriously low rates, with serious savings for his inspection history.
So, they're going to be a talking animal with a catchphrase, like a armadillo?
What the armadillo?
There he is.
No, this is a serious GEICO ad.
Aww.
Get more with GEICO Commercial Insurance. Trade up today at geico.com/commercial.